Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gateway Distriparks Limited and Snowman Logistics Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today on the call we have Mr. Prem Kishan Dass Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, Gateway Distriparks Limited, Chairman, Snowman Logistics Limited. Mr. Ishaan Gupta, Joint Managing Director, Gateway Distriparks Limited, Director, Snowman Logistics Limited. Mr. Samvid Gupta, Joint Managing Director, Gateway Distriparks Limited, Director, Snowman Logistics Limited. Mr. Sandeep Shaw, CFO, Gateway Distriparks Limited. Mr. Rajguru Behgal, President, Rail, Gateway Distriparks Limited. Mr. Manoj Singh, President, CFS, Gateway Distriparks Limited. Mr. Sunil Nair, CEO and Director, Snowman Logistics Limited. Mr. N. Balakrishna, Finance Controller, Snowman Logistics Limited. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prem Kishan Dass Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to all the participants to the post-results earnings call of Gateway Distriparks Limited and Snowman Logistics Limited. We have uploaded our results, press release, and presentation on stock exchanges as well as company website. I hope you all had an opportunity to go through the same. Due to global macro and economic situation, there is a dip in the throughput in Q3, particularly in the export direction. For various reasons, the running of the trains to the ICD, because of the track work and fog, got delayed. The company still continues to show a healthy growth of over 15% profit after tax as the company continues to reduce its debt. In Snowman, we are pleased to report that Q3 FY23 has been a quarter of outstanding financial performance for our company. Moving forward, we'll be focusing on expanding our capacity and identifying new market opportunities to drive growth. Snowman will be establishing custom-built facilities for multinationals, and we have already started with one in Shoolagiri, Tamil Nadu. There are other locations where the work in progress is there, which will offer a comprehensive range of services, including storage, handling, order processing, warehouse management, and secondary transportation. Our strategy at both Gateway and Snowman includes expanding into new industry segments and geographical regions to increase our market share and reach. By executing these efforts effectively, we aim to consistently meet the expectations of our stakeholders and drive long-term value for our shareholders. With that, we would like to open the floor for an interactive question and answer session. We welcome any questions or comments you may have at this time. Thank you, and over to the moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We request the participants to limit their question to two per participant at a time. Should you have more questions, we request you to get back in the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. The first one is essentially on the drop in volume, throughput volume, both at PFS and ICD. If it is possible to explain the reason for that, typically what all centers did contribute to this drop and the outlook going ahead, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, see, as I mentioned, the exports have dropped considerably. If you look on quarter-to-quarter basis, it is over 15% drop in the volumes of export. Imports have increased a little bit, but what happens is that because of this, our double stack ability comes down, and because of that, the EBITDA per TU also drops. So the volumes are mainly down due to the exports, which we have seen going down in the last quarter. We have seen some improvement in the current month, but this trend is to be seen how it, you know, turns out over the period of next 2 months. But we are hopeful, and with the addition of Kashipur, as you know, we have to maintain the service levels, and we have to maintain the imbalance because of export and import. So our cost, you know, per unit has gone up, and that is because of, and because of that, you can see the drop in the EBITDA. On the CFS side, if you see, I mean, we are maintaining the same EBITDA. If you exclude Punjab Conware, which was there for the full Q3 in 2021. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, but EBITDA per ton, if I look at, you know, on overall throughput, it has gone up slightly compared to last quarter. While, yeah, your volumes have gone down, but EBITDA per TU has gone up actually. So, while so double stacking certainly doesn't explain the whole story.
Yeah, our EBITDA has not...
EBITDA per TU is roughly the same only. If you look at it, I mean, a little bit here and there changes depending on the volume mix. So it's not a significant growth as such. Yeah.
Okay, on net debt to EBITDA, if I look at it, you know, after going down for many successive quarters, we have seen that this quarter has seen a little bit of an inch up. Is it a temporary thing, or, you know, there is some working capital buildup or whatever, I mean, or is it that it will, I mean, come down again to 0.65, 0.67 kind of a level going ahead?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question. Which figure are you referring to?
No, net debt to EBITDA.
Net debt to EBITDA. Yeah, no, so we're not using any CC limit right now. Net debt to EBITDA, you know, we've laid out debt plans. Kashipur, we only took 60 crore debt to finance the transaction. Rest was done through internal accrual. So that's the main change that you would have seen in the books on both cash in hand as well as the gross debt that we have. But if you look at our net debt is about 349 crores as on date. So if you look at net debt to EBITDA, if we take the annual thing, we'll be below one.
No, the question was that if I look at quarter on quarter, you know, it has, after dropping for several quarters, it has gone up, I mean, 2.88 from 0.67. So while, you know, I understood that the target is to maintain it at 0.65. So the answer was, the question was whether, you know, it's a temporary phenomenon, we expect it to normalize, or is it the level that we are going to see below one, but in at around 0.9 or something?
Yeah. So it'll stay below on an annual basis. Net debt to EBITDA will be around one only. Like I explained, this is because we used internal accruals, so that decreased our cash, and we increased our debt to fund the Kashipur transaction. So that's the main change, but it'll normalize. There's nothing, no outlook on net debt to EBITDA hasn't changed.
Okay, great. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, then please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Lavina Quadras from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand, in the industry, are you seeing competitive intensity increasing? Like, we've been reading that, you don't need to mention any specific name on the competition side, but for example, we've been reading that Adani's has bought some containers, looking to enter into logistics in a bigger way, and a couple of other unlisted players are also entering in. Are you seeing this in competitive intensity or not really?
No, it's the same as earlier, so no change on that side.
There have been no new entrants in the sector. And basically the drop in our volumes is, as I explained, the drop in exports, which we hope that it will pick up. And Kashipur, this will be first full month of operation. So this quarter we will have the volumes added to our total throughput on the ICD side. So I don't think that there's a intensity in the competition, and this competition was always there. And we haven't seen anyone, to the best of our knowledge, we don't see any intensity in the competition that any new further locations or, any further products coming up online.
Okay. And so lastly, I know the DFC, Railway Ministry is best place to answer this, but just in general, are you hearing any dates on the commissioning of the Dadri-Rewari stretch at all? Of the DFC?
See, Dadri-Rewari, there was a trial that they said, but the full construction is yet to be done. And it is a matter of, we don't have a timeline yet, when this Dadri-Rewari, but the DFC from Rewari to
Rewari to Dadri 2023 end is what we're looking at. So that's the rough timeline. For the rest of the sections, it'll take longer all the way to JNPT. That'll take a couple of years probably.
Yeah, JNPT will take time, but at least Mundra to Rewari for that. So Rewari to Mundra is done, right? Basically, it's a Dadri Rewari that's left. Mundra to
Pipavav. It's done till Sanan. So beyond that, it connects to the port via non-DFC right now. But essentially, Dadri to Mundra will then be connected by end of the year.
There is a new development. Earlier, the trains which we used to send on the DFC, it used to connect from New Delhi. But now they have developed a stretch of around 40 kilometers, so that is a shorter distance to our terminal. So now the DFC starts from a new Rewari section. So that is one development. And second is that earlier when we used to send our trains double stacking via Viramgam, which we used to double stack till 800 kilometers, so we were doing only after that to Pipava. But now there were two over bridges, so they are increasing the height of those over bridges. So by May, Viramgam to Mundra will also be double stacked. So that will help in improving our double stack performance also.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Deepak Krishnan from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. Maybe just a follow-up from the previous question as well. While you said the competitive intensity is not increasing in the market, if you look at rail tonnage broadly on a YOY basis is up 5%. But we see that both you and Concor have seen close to about 10% decline on a YOY basis in terms of TU. So anything specific that is happening, is one player disproportionately gaining share or any competitive change that has taken place in the industry specifically?
Hi Deepak. So the tonnage which you are referring to, that is bulk commodities.
No, I'm just talking about exim container tonnage.
No.
See, exim container tonnage has no meaning because, there's no set formula to convert 20 feet or 40 feet container into a tonnage. So we have been saying that for long, but somehow, some agencies convert that into tonnage and that does not reflect the true picture because the container can be 10 tons, 12 tons, or it can be 30 tons. So, I mean, how do we take the average? Even we don't have that calculation, you know. So we always talk in terms of a 20 feet and a 40 feet container. So, that is what we report also, and that is what we talk about also, that number of TEUs handled by us in the ICD business or the CFS business.
Sure, sir. And maybe just in terms of, like, at least 6 months now, we have the Rewari to, you know, Sanand or Palanpur equivalent, you know, working. But we've really not seen any modal share gain towards, you know, rail in a big way. So how do you kind of look at it, maybe from a shorter term perspective as well as a longer term perspective? Like, when do you really see, you know, modal share shift towards rail really picking up?
So there has been a shift, like in the last 2 years. So in the last 3-6 months, nothing major like that, and it's not measured that frequently also. But overall, if you see since the start of COVID, there has been a significant shift. The next level will come when it's connected all the way to JNPT.
Sure.
When the full DFC is operational, basically, then that's when the next level of growth will come from, shift from road to rail will happen.
And maybe any outlook that you would want to share for, like, FY23 or FY24 in terms of just rail volumes?
So for the current year, we're looking at, I mean, like, at least matching last year, with a slight growth because of Kashipur. And then, going forward, earlier we had given a guidance of about, high, like around 18%. We'll revise that to slightly lower. We'll wait another quarter before giving a full proper guidance for next year.
Sure. Those are my questions, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sorry if I'm, you know, kind of asking this question. You said that, basically the rail volume declining.
The handset, please. The voice is not very clear.
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yeah, much better. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for that. So, thank you for the opportunity. You know, my question was, with respect to rail volume. Now, unlike in the past, this is the first time we are seeing a drop in the rail volumes for us. And, you know, as you said, the tonnage, Indian Railways exim tonnage doesn't really matter. But is it possible to know, you know, how the railways, container volume have been in terms of TEUs, how that, growth or decline could be? What I'm trying to assess is that, have we gained, maintained, or lost market share on a YY basis for 3Q?
So our market share is not lost. Overall, rail volumes have been flat. So overall, also, if you look at our market share, it's grown on a nine-month compared to nine-month basis. NCR, we're at about 16%, and I think we used to be at 12% about a year, year and a half ago. And then Ludhiana, we're at about 35%, and this is after a fifth ICD has also come in. So market share is doing well. It's just the macroeconomic situation with the decline in exports in a big way, and also slower running of trains, which was there in December. So just for example, our pendencies at the port have piled up so much because our double stack and hubbing operations were reduced due to the track work. We have about 3,000, 3,500 just lying at the port right now.
Okay. So if I get you right, you're saying basically the double stack got impacted, which resulted into higher pendency, which had an impact on volume handled being lower in 3Q. The market share, what you gave on. Yeah.
Along with the overall dip in.
Overall decline. Correct. Correct. So the market share, what you gave for 9 months, can it be possible to know for third quarter specifically for NCR and Ludhiana?
We're at similar numbers.
In terms of QOQ, flat, or YY?
Overall basis, our market share is in NCR continues to be about 16%, and in Ludhiana, it continues to be 35%. So, it's remained the same almost Q on Q.
Understood. And you know, if you could talk about the EBITDA for these two segments, because I see that we have not disclosed that in the presentation this time, while we had disclosed in the second quarter, we didn't disclose first quarter. Can we just have some clarity as to how you want to you know, present this on a consistent basis, please?
Yeah, so we didn't give it in the second quarter also. I think we stopped splitting EBITDA this financial year. But if you just look at the historical trend, we're seeing along the same lines of where CFS is around 2200 and rail is close to 9000. So that same trend is carrying on right now.
Understood. And with respect to you know, the pricing, how the pricing situation has been in NCR and Ludhiana markets? Have you seen any drop in the realization, any increase in the realization? How the competitive intensity is shaping up, given we are hearing that one of your large competitors is talking about introducing schemes?
Yeah, hi, Rajguru this side. So Ludhiana market has now got interesting because of this coming of investment of Tata Steel in Ludhiana, and with the with this, what has happened is there is an increase in import of scrap in Ludhiana market, and resulting which we have also gained a good market share in terms of imports. So some of the shipping lines which they were importing to other ICDs, due to increase in the volume, so we have started getting good market share in that. So that is one interesting fact which has happened, and we are expecting this scrap market to remain stable for another 3 months time, and this should help in not only gaining our market share in the import segment, but also in the export segment as well in Ludhiana.
Right. In terms of pricing and the you know, the empty handling, any comment on the same?
Empty handling, that is because as you know that railways has withdrawn the discount which they were giving in running the empty containers. But we are tying up with the shipping lines, so we are also working on some cabotage model wherein we will try and reduce that cost. And we are also creating some space wherein we can store shipping line empty so that they can use them for the exports. So our focus is also in that area.
Okay. You had talked about 18% volume growth for the rail segment, including Kashipur. Any comment on the CFS in terms of the volume and the margins for FY24?
Yeah, no, CFS is expected to remain flat. There is a slight growth if you look at the numbers without Punjab Conware. But what we've been reporting for the last few quarters will be the CFS numbers going forward also.
Got it. So on a blended basis, we should look at further improvement in the margins given higher growth in the rail business. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
So for the third quarter, we were at around 5,400, excluding the other income. So that should keep on inching up.
Yeah, our target is 6,000.
Target is 6,000. Understood. This target is for FY24 or the longer term target?
There's no specific timeline to it. It's just we're doing everything we can to reach that number as soon as possible.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rohit from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, all questions related to Snowman. So first, with the VDP partnership, what sort of revenues do you anticipate and what sort of margins are you expecting from this business?
Hi, this is Sunil here. So with the VDP, we are setting up a best-in-class chemical handling warehouse, which is around 55,000 square feet warehouse in Shulagiri near Bangalore. And we expect the warehousing plus transportation we will be storing, as well as we will be distributing these chemicals within the radius of 300 km from the warehouse. So both put together, we are expecting around 12 crore of top line per annum from this business with a 12% margin.
Okay. So, any particular guidance that you would like to share on a blended basis? Will you be able to maintain the normal range of 20-22% EBITDA margin?
Yes. So, as you know, we had started distribution business as well last quarter onwards. So the mix that we have today, we believe the similar mix will continue to grow. And anywhere upwards of 20% is what we are expecting in the coming quarter also.
Okay. Any price hikes that you have taken during the quarter under review?
So price hike usually happens in the Q1 where the agreements are due for renewal. So last year overall we have, if we compare Q1 Q, we have a 7% price increase, ASP increase, annual average sales price increase. Over last year, same quarter. Once this renewal is due in from March onwards, we start discussing with the customers. So we are expecting more or less similar increase in the ASP for next year as well.
Can you share the ASP currently?
Yeah, sure. Our ASP current is 1521 rupees per pallet per month.
Okay, per month. Okay. And last question is related to the net debt. What is that number and what is the comfortable debt equity that you're looking at?
Hi, Balaji. So net debt of the company right now is 86.57. Cool. Debt equity ratio, we are at 0.25.
Okay, I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dimensional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is for Snowman. In the trading and distribution business, the margins on QOQ basis, we have seen jump from around 4.6 to 7.1% on EBIT basis. So what would be the sustainable margin in this business?
See, that is because of the mix change. We have only three clients now, so depending on their and the three clients with different margins, so depending on the volume it changes, but we are looking at 5% margin on an average basis as we scale up this business.
Sir, current mix, we have a revenue of 25% from trading and distribution. If I talk about Q3, you said that you will maintain similar mix. Is that right? Yeah. So this revenue will stay 25%?
Yes, it will remain 25 or it will grow.
Yeah, because earlier, in the previous quarter, we were talking about aggressive growth in the trading and distribution segment. I mean, we were targeting somewhere close to maybe 500-600 crore rupees, if I'm not wrong.
No, I have no idea on these numbers. We'll have to take the source of this.
So if we talk about growth, what kind of growth are we expecting in this business?
So see, as I said last time, we are just setting up things and we have migrated to a ERP system which takes care of this kind of business as well. We are putting the commercial processes in place. So we are expecting anywhere to the extent of 40-50% growth year on year in this snow distribution model.
Okay. Okay. And for our warehousing business, I believe this quarter on YOY basis, we saw decline in the pallet. Can you specify what would that number be?
Decline in pallet, build pallets.
Warehousing.
No, there is no decline. Actually,
Q3 over Q3,
there is an increase in pallet.
How much increase that is?
One sec. Get back to you in a couple of minutes.
Sure, that's fine. And that was my last question. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. So we have seen about 13% degrowth in TEUs. This is real TEUs, quarter on quarter, while the realizations have actually improved 11%. So what explains this?
This is basically change in volume mix. So that's the main difference that, you see these variations quarter on quarter. And import normally has better pricing and imports have grown, whereas exports have declined. So that would explain why revenue per TU might be higher.
Oh, okay, all right. And does this mean that EBITDA per TU would also be higher?
It's along the same trend because while imports are better, our imbalance has increased. So the cost of imbalance is negating that increase in margins for the import leg.
Right, and that's why maybe the margins on the blended basis are flat.
Right.
All right. And you mentioned that exports, are weak and I couldn't get you what trend you spoke about in December, January. How is it picking up or how are you seeing the market shape up in exports?
So it's still subdued only. So no sign, even in January, we haven't seen any signs of exports picking up yet. But hopefully after this quarter, we should see some growth again.
All right. And on Snowman, one question, are you giving any guidance on the blended basis? What will be the revenue or margin guidance? And could you break it up by volume and price hike?
So we will continue to have the existing ratio of Q3 ratio to be there in Q4 as well. And as I said, from a pricing point of view, we will be able to comment only in the first quarter of next financial year. Because that's the time we close agreements with our customers.
All right. So you say, the Q3 momentum will be maintained in Q4. I was actually asking more from a full year perspective, if it's possible.
We'll talk about it in the coming quarter by the time we finish our budgeting process and all.
Sure. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. In the last conference call, you did talk about adding new rigs on the leased basis, and I think you alluded to taking delivery of 3 rigs per year going ahead. But given the fact that we are now entering a phase of slowdown, and while all of us hope and wish that things recover very quickly, but we don't know because the global recession may continue for some time. So is there any rethink on that in terms of increasing the capacity on the rig side?
No, we'll definitely add to our fleet because of our expansion of network. So Kashipur and Jaipur being added, we will need more trains. So 3 is definitely on the cards. And then we'll take a call after that because these are available on at least 6 months notice. So we can accordingly change our plan if we need to reduce our outlook.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Reminder to our participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
For the gateway team, we had spoken about, even looking at the automotive sector for, onboarding them as in how the DFC gets, operationalized. So have we started looking or onboarding any customers from the auto sector, like for the double stacking or even for the normal stacking?
So we already work with auto companies, like Maruti is one of our largest customers. We work with a few others also and auto ancillaries. But this is on the container side. So the finished vehicle side is a separate license, AFTO license it's called. That's a more longer term thing that we might have. We don't have plans to start finished vehicles, auto rakes anytime soon.
Okay, okay. That's it from my side, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Access Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. On the last conference call, you had mentioned that rail volume growth is expected to touch high teen in next fiscal as volumes from Kashipur get added for the full fiscal Jaipur for part of the year. How is that outlook looking like? And you had said that revenue growth for FY23 is likely to be 6-7%. Now that we have had a disappointment on export volumes in Q3, how would you review growth for the balance fiscal and next fiscal?
So for the rest of this year, we'll be looking at similar to last year's numbers. And then earlier in the call, we said we'll still take some time to evaluate as the macroeconomic situation has changed quite a bit in the last 3 to 6 months. So by next quarter, we'll give a guidance for next financial year. Kashipur and Jaipur, so Kashipur this quarter, we'll get the full benefit of it. So those volumes will get added. And Jaipur, we're hoping it's operational by end of this calendar year.
Okay. So the full benefit from Kashipur will just offset the decline that you are seeing, because you're saying you are expecting numbers similar to last fiscal.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe slight growth because of it.
Okay. And just to understand in terms of the mix that you have on import and export, what was it like in Q3 when you say that there was a steep decline in exports? And what percentage impact on the decline was because of this track work and fog related issues, which is slowing down speed of trains? Just to segregate that portion which can come back on track and is not linked to macroeconomic factors.
Roughly our mix used to, we had reached a mix of 50-50. Now our mix is something like 60% imports, 40% exports. So that's been the shift. And the second part of your question, if I understood correctly, you were asking what is the impact of the fog and the slow running?
Yeah, I mean, so basically if you segregate that, what is attributable to macroeconomy and what is attributable to such issues?
Yeah, so say about 7-8%, we could have been better throughput if the entire hubbing and double stacking and the faster running of trains was there.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one question. Several North Indian companies were evaluating sending goods to South India by using Mundra Pipavav and then by sea freight. So are we getting any kind of those volumes?
No, we aren't into coastal shipping. But once in a while, we do some domestic movement between Mundra Pipava, JNPT ports with our ICDs. And maybe someone else who's into that uses our service, but we don't know whether it's for coastal or not. We're just moving it from ICD to port.
But do we see any potential further? Any
potential for what?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
So any potential for this rail container movement from, say, North India to this Pipavav or Mundra, whether they will issue use for coastal or they may use for export also?
So right now, the Indian Railways network is not good enough to have that movement, because the running time is very slow. And whether it is from Mundra to south or the coastal or from north to south, this domestic business, while there might be requirement, but the pricing and the turnaround of the asset is not good. So we have been watching it and we will keep an eye on it. But right now we don't have any plans to go into that sort of domestic movement.
even with DFC working in full play, don't you think that turnaround time has improved?
No, DFC will be only from the hinterland to Mundra, Pipava and Nhava Sheva from on the western side. So it is not going to be from north to south, or you know, from west to south or east to south. Those circuits, I mean, or whatever, those DFC are a long way.
I'm not talking for this DFC circuit, sir. I mean using DFC and taking it to this port and they move it through by coastal to South India.
It is possible, but I think, you know, people just normally send it by road because once the container goes there from Mundra to, say, Cochin, for example, there's hardly any return cargo. So people don't prefer the coastal shipping route right now.
There are some movements happening. I understood your question now. So there are movements happening in that leg, you know, that from north to the western ports and from there on the coastal vessels. But we have studied that in detail and we don't have any interest in doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharti Savant from Mirai Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi.
Become with, you're audible.
Thank you for taking my question. My question pertains to the discussion that we've already had with regards to volume decline that we saw in the rail business. So can you just explain what kind of volume growth would we have witnessed in imports on the import side and what is the impact on the export side?
Just one second. So imports are, you know, more or less the same, say, slight single-digit growth, but exports have seen a decline of 15% to 20%.
Okay, and is the track issue now sorted, which impacted the, because you also mentioned that because of the track issues, your overall volumes have declined by about 8%. So had this not been there, you would have been more like flattish compared to last year.
So the track work is complete now.
So, effectively, Q4, because you are guiding for a flattish YOY growth, FY23 full, which indicates roughly 13% decline for Q4 compared to the run rate of 90,000-odd TUs for Q4 of last year. And if the track work is complete, are we expecting significant weakness in the exim volumes, exim trade?
See, right now it cannot be said for sure. This year the Chinese New Year is now, you know, 22nd of January. So the imports will also slow down in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And thereafter the pipeline looks good. But on the export side we are not seeing much improvement. Though, I mean, if you compare on a month-to-month basis between December and January, there is a growth of 5%. But after having gone down the 15 to 20%, 5% growth is welcome, but I mean, we cannot say for sure how it will take shape in the next 2 months, or you know what to what will be the total impact in the quarter.
So there is more to the weakness. It's not just the track issues which is impacting the export leg, but it's the, there are more as an overall weakness which is impacting the volumes for us.
See, the track issue will clear the pendency which is at the ports. And exports, if they keep on growing, like in January, that will add to our volumes. Imports, right now they are good, but the arrivals are good, but they will slow down in the next 2-3 weeks. But again, after that, there are signs of, or we have the visibility that until end of March, the imports will also grow. So to give you a certain figure, it is not possible right now, but we will be having higher volumes because of clearance of pendency, because of some uptake in the both export side and import side. And we can only hope for better, things to prevail, the present macroeconomic situation. And then let us see how the budget comes out, because a lot of export and import will also depend on the budget announcement.
Understood. Just two more questions from my side. One on the Kashipur and Jaipur. What is the annualized volume contribution we are expecting from Kashipur terminal in the next financial year once fully operational? And once Jaipur is operational, what could be the volume contribution that can come from that terminal?
Kashipur about 3,000 a month, so say 36,000 for the year. Jaipur will take more time since it's a greenfield project. There's a process of, you know, shipping lines opening their BL point. They have to start positioning their MTs. So it'll be a slower ramp up. So this financial year, we can pretty much say no volumes from Jaipur.
Kashipur is already doing roughly 3,000 TUs a month.
Yeah, so the full impact will come next year in FY24. From Kashipur, which is what we are saying is 36,000 TUs per annum. And Jaipur, we expect to start by Q3 of this this year, or which will be, sorry, Q3 of the FY24. So, it will be slow start to build up the volume. So, we cannot say it will be a significant contribution in for FY24, yes, for FY25, it will definitely be addition both from Kashipur as well as Jaipur, apart from, you know, our existing terminals.
And last question on the rail margins. The rail EBITDA per TU, historically, over past 2 years specifically, we've been doing about 9,000 per TU or in excess of that. With Kashipur and Jaipur, do we expect to continue with this run rate? Or would there be some dilution?
No, temporarily there might be some dilution because, you know, to place the empties for imports or, you know, to vacate the empty containers from the terminal. So these costs, in Kashipur, we are sure that this quarter there might be some additional costs. But from Q1 next year, we will be able to, you know, have similar kind or even higher margins. And once the volumes are established, that will help us in double stacking from Gadi or Saru to all the ports, bringing in on single stack from Kashipur to Gadi and then sending it out to the ports. Similarly, on Jaipur, whenever it comes in, it is already on the double stack route. So it will only add to our double stack percentage that we normally have, because leaving from Gadi, it can be chopped up from Jaipur and sent to the ports.
So what is the potential EBITDA improvement one can look from a 3 to 5 year perspective once these terminals are operational and even DFC is operational?
We are aiming at 10,000 rupees per TU.
Okay. This is with DFC, right? DFC and terminal.
Yeah, this is with DFC and including our two terminals and macro being improved, seeing some improvement.
Understood. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Chandran from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. So my question is again pertaining to the EBITDA per TU asked by the previous lady. So I wanted to gauge, like, the DFC is operational from quite some time. Then too, we don't see any increase in the EBITDA per TU, because this quarter around, I thought that we had an increase in realization, then we would have a growth in the EBITDA per TU. But as said by Samvid, it's in the same range. So you can guide us with certain things, like when will it be on an incremental side? And yeah, after this, I have one more question.
See, basically, there are some factors, and one of the biggest factors is the imbalance between import and export during this quarter. Otherwise, we had already touched 9,500 rupees per TU, and we are trying to get back to that with our new terminals. And the target is 10,000 per TU, but one of the things we have not mentioned apart from slow movement due to track work and all that is that we had some acquisition expenses which were incurred in, which were booked during Q3. So that brings us down the EBITDA a little bit. But we'll definitely be there at 9,500 very soon.
Okay. And the second question is, sir, that you are planning two more ICDs, as you had written in your, the press release. So have you identified any places for those, or are you still looking out for those things?
We're still finalizing, but it's along the, our strategy is to increase as much along the Western DFC.
Okay. Okay.
So it might not be directly on the DFC, but it'll get connected to the Western DFC through one of our hubs.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. These answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is a follow-up question from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is on the Snowman business. So on the distribution business, hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, sorry. So on the distribution business, what kind of return ratios are we looking at? If you could also highlight what kind of opportunity do we have in this business? We have mentioned that we are the first ones in the country to, do this 5PL sort of a thing in cold chain.
I've not understood the question with respect to return ratio, but if you are asking about the margins, I can say that at a gross level it is around 10% margin, and at a net level 4-5% margin is what we are commanding now, and this to be maintained as we grow.
Okay, and on the size of opportunity, if you can highlight a little bit on the 5PL side.
So size is very difficult to estimate. This is one of the most wanted service that the industry were looking for. And this is a very well-known model globally. There are companies which are as big as 2 lakh crores of Indian rupees turnover in US, which are running similar business model. But in India, it is a new thing, and we are very specific to food. There is no research work as of now to quantify the market size.
All right. Thank you.
But I can say that, we do hold inventory of close to 12,000 crores worth of inventory in our cold storages. And we are just trying to speak to those potential customers who would value the value add that we can offer in this model. So maybe in a couple of quarters down the line, we'll be able to have some estimate on this.
Sure. Got it. Thank you.
And there was a question earlier which we had parked because I didn't have the information handy. So the build pallets, we built 3.34 lakh pallet positions in Q3 this year as compared to 2.87 lakh pallet position last year Q3. An increase of 16% pallet positions.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead. Achal, the line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. You have mentioned 3,000 per month kind of a volume from Kashipur ICD. Is it possible to know what is the broad market size here? What has been the growth? How do you look at, what is the market share we are talking about there?
Hi, Rajguru this side. So if we talk about the overall market catchment of Kashipur, so we are looking at the volumes of, apart from the 3,000, which approximately we'll be doing, we'll be targeting the volumes of Moradabad, which is doing around 6,000 containers, and then Pantnagar ICD, which is doing around 2,000. So 8,000 to 10,000 is the target catchment we are looking at. Plus, in addition to that, we are also, we have mapped some of the customers which are going as far as Dadri. So if we put it all together, so the size is between 12 to 15,000, which we will be targeting. And we are expecting that we should be able to onboard many customers, because when we have started our services, there is a lot of excitement in the trade, and there has been many queries which are pouring in, because many of the customers which are having their units near our existing terminals like Gurgaon and Ludhiana, so they also have their suppliers and OEMs, and they know our company, and they were waiting for these services, especially for the JNPT and Pipavav services, which was not prevalent in this area. So we are the ones who have already started these services from that location, and we are very confident that we should be able to gain a sizable market share in this entire catchment.
So if I understand you correctly, sir, what you're saying, you know, that 3,000 is the base for volume on top of that. So the entire market size in and around Kashipur ICD is somewhere around 20,000 TEUs per month. Is that a fair assumption? Of that, we currently have a share of 3,000 TEUs. Is that right understanding?
It's about, say, 18,000 TEUs roughly, including the road, road movement, which comes to ICDs in the NCR region, like Dadri, Rajguru just mentioned. But some of it is going directly to the port or coming directly from the port to these locations because of not so reliable services. So we are going to offer a product where, I mean, we will have the deliveries or evacuation by our standards, and so that the customers get their deliveries on time, both on the export and import side. So that is what we are targeting. That first target would be people who are moving by road, whether via NCR region or directly to the ports. So that will be easy to get. And then, of course, once people see the service, service levels, then definitely the terminal will attract the volumes itself, you know.
Understood. So 18,000 is basically the total size, which includes the road. As of now, how much of this is coming on rail at present? Would that be 10, 20, 30%?
Say about 10,000.
10K by rail as of now. Understood. And yeah,
Kashipur,
including 3K of Kashipur. So when you guiding for 3,000 per month for FY24, you're not assuming any scale up for these. Have I got it right?
Yeah, we're giving this as the base volume because
numbers.
The overall market scenario. So once that improves, our guidance for this will also improve.
And is it possible to give some sense in terms of how competitive rail would be compared to road, given its long lead for JNPT or Mundra? You know, is there any scope to improve the per TU margins there in Kashipur?
Per TU margin will be roughly the same only because there are two other terminals also, and that's Concord. Maybe some scope, slight improvement because NCR has many more terminals compared to this region. But there is scope to, you know, offer a better service level compared to road, especially for the JNPT and Pipavav region, which right now wasn't being serviced by the earlier CTOs here.
Understood. And just a clarification, when we talk about rail volumes, it includes the laden plus empty, right?
Yes.
No,
we are talking about only laden.
10,000 is laden. But
no, the general, not specifically for Kashipur. When we report the volumes, that is laden plus empty, right?
Yes, yes.
For both rail and the CFS business?
Yes.
Got it. And if you could give some sense about the capex for FY23 and 24 and in which areas?
So Jaipur ICD is continuing. Kashipur, more or less, everything's done. There'll be some minor improvements we'll be doing there. So Jaipur total is a 90 crore project, out of which 30 was for the land, and say we've spent about 5-10 crores already. So that's the plan for, say, the next 6 to 9 months. And as and when then we add other ICDs, like the two we're talking about, that'll add incrementally. Rakes will be on lease most probably, but we can look at buying them also. So that depends on, if we do that, then that automatically gets added to CapEx.
Right. Still, I mean, if you can give some ballpark number, FY 2023, how much have we spent in 9 months, and how much would we spend in total for a full year in FY 2024? A ballpark number would do, excluding the two potential terminals, what you're talking about.
Yeah. Other than Kashipur, we've spent about 50 crores in 9 months, and then we'll be spending maybe another 20 crores within this financial year. And then next financial year, you can assume probably about 75 crores CapEx.
Which will take care of the Kashi, which take care of Jaipur as well as the other maintenance CapEx, excluding the two potential locations that you're talking about.
And possibly buying the rakes now, because rail is an asset which is depreciated over 15 years, though the life is 25 to 30 years. And interest rates, have come down, even though gone up in the last couple of quarters. Still, if you add interest and depreciation, it will be almost equal to the lease. But then this asset remains with you, for almost 25-30 years, whereas interest will be for 7 years, and then the depreciation is over 15 years. And then after that, whatever next 10-15 years the rakes are, there'll be no cost. So we are evaluating that, and we might get into buying some rakes. Right now we have 21 owned rakes and 10 leased rakes. So we'll keep a mix and match, and keep on changing the tech. With the change in technology, we'll be getting in the upgraded versions of the trains with high speed and high loadability. So that is a continuous process, and which we'll keep on doing. Just so that the first rake that we had purchased 15-16 years back is still running and in good condition, and it will run for another good 10 years. So it's worth examining whether we should buy or whether we should lease it.
Right, but is the availability of rake is a challenge in terms of buying or leasing, or not really?
No, it's not a challenge. There is some talk that the wheel sets are not available or there's a shortage of rakes, but nothing like that. The lead time is there, anywhere between 6 to 8 months or 9 months maximum, but rakes are available.
Understood. And last, I know you have clarified in the past, but we are not looking at any domestic business, right? We are fully on exim side.
Yeah, just little bit within our terminals if something comes, and if we have the spare capacity, then we'll do it. Domestic is a more longer term thing we're looking at once our network is more present in more regions, then domestic makes sense.
Understood. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be our last question for today. On behalf of Gateway Distriparks Limited and Snowman Logistics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.